Let's start off with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to hear from you and from your word. Father, may we listen and obey. Would we be listening to your Holy Spirit? Father, we ask that you would change us in the ways that you would like us to today. Help us to be more and more the way that will please you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. A few summers ago, our family of six and Julianne's parents took a trip to Tennessee. We decided to do mostly carry-on bags to save some money. Perhaps you've done the same. And because we were a family of six at the time, we were allowed to have six carry-ons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Plus one larger bag that we checked in. On the trip to Tennessee, on the way there, everything went well. All the kids did well on the plane. For most of them, it was their very first time being on a plane. And we counted our carry-on bags over and over to make sure that we remembered all of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So we made it there smoothly with all the people and all the bags. We had a great time, and we began our trip back. Unfortunately, the trip back was a little more rocky. We started the trip with two of our children being sick, with one throwing up into one of those industrial-sized Ziploc freezer bags. Looking back, a see-through bag probably wasn't the best choice. But you use what you have. With all that going on, it was all we could do to keep everyone and the freezer bag together. But we made it back to Seattle that night. Oh, around 10 p.m., brought our carry-on bags off the plane. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We collected our one checked-in bag at the luggage carousel and found our shuttle, which took us back to the hotel where we had parked our van. We were exhausted. Some of us were sick, and we were ready to go home. Getting off that shuttle at the hotel is forever etched in my mind. We got off, and we got the luggage out of the back. Time for one last count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 5. Looked around. Maybe someone else had the sixth bag. We checked the back of the shuttle. We checked in the shuttle. We asked the shuttle driver. We had forgotten one of our bags somewhere. Next was the assessment phase. Whose carry-on was it? If it was one of the kids, maybe it's not such a big deal. You know, they grew out of their clothes and we could replace them. The souvenirs they had purchased, probably we could replace those too with something else we could buy here locally. It wasn't one of the kids' bags. Maybe it was my bag. I thought, you know, I can be the one who gives up whatever I had with me and probably replace the things that I had. It would be okay. It wasn't my bag. We lost my wife's bag. We lost my wife's bag with all of her favorite clothes, the special things she had purchased from our trip. If we had a choice, this wasn't the bag we would have chosen to forget. And then I realize this isn't over. We're not going home yet. We got to go look for this bag. So at 11 p.m. now, exhausted, sick, instead of driving home, we're on a hunt. So Julianne's dad and I, we got in his car and we drove to look for the forgotten bag. And if you've ever been looking for something you have lost or you've forgotten that is of value, it's all you can think about. You think about it, you talk about it, and you pray, Lord, please help me find this thing that we have lost. We were pretty sure we had all six when we got on the shuttle. Had we forgotten to count? So we searched the shuttle bay where we got on the shuttle. We searched the road along the route. I don't know how we thought the bag would have fallen out of the shuttle, but we looked. We went to the hotel that the shuttle stopped at before we got to our hotel. And we looked and we asked and we gave them a description. And we looked behind the dumpster and we looked everywhere. We couldn't find it. One last place to look. We drove back to the airport. Couldn't find the bag. We looked and looked. Where had we forgotten this bag? Finally, we thought, wait a minute, we did check one bag. Let's go look at the luggage collection area, the one full of all those carousels with the luggage going around in a circle. So we walked over there and we thought, let's do the smart thing. Let's go to the lost and found and tell them we lost our luggage. So we walked over to the lost and found. It was closed. Oh, what are we going to do? We're desperate. We're defeated. And then, in the middle of the luggage area, all by itself, was one black bag. And we rushed over to it, and we looked at the label, and there was a familiar name on it. We had found the bag. Yeah, it was great. It was good. We were rejoicing. Julianne was going to have her clothes back, and we didn't have to worry that someone somewhere else was going to be dressing like Julianne with all of her clothes. That was a big day. We traveled. People were sick. People were tired. And ending that day off by having to go back to the airport to find that sixth carry-on was annoying and nerve-wracking and a pain, to say the least. But if we hadn't found it, it would have been okay. It would have been a cost and inconvenient, but it would have been all right. But there are things in life that are very important not to forget. We're going to see in our text today that we are not to be forgetful of God's word. Instead, we are to glorify God by obeying it. The word of God is precious. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says this about God's word: the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible is inspired by God and we can absolutely trust it. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. As Christians, knowing and obeying the word of God is not negotiable. Jesus states, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, John 8:31. Too many times we read God's word, we understand it, and we walk away without obeying it. We forget God's word. We don't pay attention, or we don't see it as authoritative. God's word says, do not let this be. We need to obey and do as God instructs, no matter the cost. And if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do, please turn to the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. Our title this morning is, Remember Not to Forget. Remember Not to Forget. And as you turn there, as you turn to the book of James, let's quickly get familiar with this letter. The book of James is written by James, the half-brother of Jesus. He was a key leader in the early Jerusalem church. It is written to Christians scattered among the nations, likely facing persecution and trials. James is known for being practical and is even referred to as the Proverbs of the New Testament because it focuses so much on godly living. James emphasizes that our faith must show. In other words, for a Christian, godly living must overflow from a heart that has been transformed by God. So let's read together. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. Know this, my beloved brothers, Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Remember not to forget. Together this morning, we're going to look at three essential things to remember regarding the Word of God. The first, remember you are not the authority. We are not the authority in our own lives as Christians. As the first three verses state, let's read them together. We are to have a particular approach when we come to the Word. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. The first command, let every person be quick to hear. This means take every opportunity you have for intake of the Word of God. That could be reading it, listening to it on your phone or computer, listening to it taught in a sermon, growth group, Bible study. There are so many options, especially with technology today. Get the Word of God into your mind. Receive faithful teaching of the Scripture. We should have the heart attitude of desiring God's word more and more. Be quick to hear. One survey a few years ago, 2022 in Canada, found that about 22% of evangelicals read their Bible daily. 22%. 20% say several times per week. 10% say once a week. And 32% say never or hardly ever. We are to be quick to hear because Scripture is our authority. Because it is God's word to us and it is absolutely essential to us as we live our lives for God. The verse continues, be slow to speak. This means that you are not coming to the Word of God with your own agenda, looking for how it can prove you right. Think of a conversation with a friend. It is very difficult or impossible to listen and hear when you are the one talking. In this context of how we approach the Word of God, we are to be slow to speak. That means that while you are reading or hearing the Word of God, you'll be careful not to be bringing in your own opinions. Instead, you are coming to hear God's authoritative word. As we come to God's word, we are to listen carefully to his word, not to ours. Remember, we are not the authority. Next, James says, be slow to anger. In this context, James seems to be speaking particularly about being angry at a truth the Bible is teaching that we don't like or doesn't fit with our preference or perhaps our culture. Perhaps the Bible speaks against the sin that we are not willing to give up. We must squash that and submit to God's word, realizing that his word is perfect. James continues, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Being angry at God's word will not help us in our goal of loving God and obeying his word. Instead, it will hinder us. And verse 21 follows up on this commanding, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. If we are in sin, Therefore, being obedient to God's word, we as Christians are to get rid of these things. This is not how to follow and will hinder us as we seek his truth through his word. The word James uses here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is filthiness. And it's closely related to a term used of wax in your ear, which, of course, blocks us from hearing, and therefore especially appropriate in this context. Get the wax out of your ears so you can hear. Get the sin out of your life so you can submit and follow God's word. We are to confess and repent of sin. By doing so, we prepare ourselves to receive with meekness the implanted word. To receive with meekness means that the person knows that they are there to learn and not to teach. They are not the authority. Closely related to humility, a humble willingness to learn. Being meek is not weakness. They're easy to confuse. Rather, it is a part of understanding that God is the authority and I will follow him humbly. We are to receive with meekness the implanted word. God puts his word in our hearts and he transforms us. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." God's word is not surface, but it goes deep to our hearts and impacts us at the core. It grows and brings forth fruit that pleases God. Romans 12:2 reminds us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Get the word of God into your mind. We need it. Remember, you are not the authority. God's word is to instruct us for living and faithfully following our God. And in fact, verse 21 says that it is able to save your souls. The word of God has great power in our lives as we learn about God, his plan, and how to follow him more each day. And our God is continually working in our hearts to sanctify us and produce in us that which is pleasing to him. Remember, you are not the authority. The second remember is remember to be a doer. Verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." After we have come to the word of God meekly, remembering that we are not the authority, James commands us to be doers. We are to be obedient to the word of God and to go obey what he has given to us in the scriptures. Being a doer is to absolutely be a marker of who we are as Christians. When someone thinks of us, they will not think of us as perfect people, because none of us are. But I would hope that they would think of each Christian as someone who wants to know God's word and then go and obey it by being a doer. The next thing it says in verse 22 is to be not hearers only. Yes, of course, we are to hear the word of God. We are to intake it as much as we can, but it must not stop there. If you are a hearer only, you are not a doer. You are not obeying God. Those who are hearers only are those who just sit in the audience and listen and let it end there. When Julianne and I were first married, she was in her final year at university. And I was interested in one of her classes. It was a class on marriage and the family. And so I was given permission to go and audit the class. To audit a class in university means that I got to go to the class, I got to sit and listen to the professor, but I had zero responsibility for class assignments or tests. I was a hearer only in that context. We are not to be, for lack of a better term, auditor Christians. We must not be. Even if we come to the word in the right way and acknowledge that we are not the authority, it must not stop there. God says that his people will be doers and not hearers only. 1 John 3:10 says, "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." It is not a question of what we know, but of how we live, what we do. Are we doers of the word? The life that is counted righteous in Christ will be shown in righteous living. Expressing this same truth, 1 John 2, 3-4 says, "And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." God does not command us to be doers and leave us on our own. The Bible tells us that when we put our faith in Jesus, he makes us a new creation, and he sends the Holy Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Jesus calls the Spirit our helper to be with us forever. Ephesians 1, 13-14 says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." The Spirit empowers us to live in obedience. Philippians 2, 12-13 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." God gives us both our desire to obey and our ability to obey. He works in us so that we can be doers. At this point, it is also important to remember that none of us will do this perfectly on earth. Yes, it is to be our goal, but we will all fail. That is why we need a Savior. That is why we have a God who is gracious to us each day. We must remember that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, not by our own doing. But our salvation will show what God has done on the inside, will show on the outside in how we live. As Christians, there must be fruit in our lives, showing we will do because of what God has done for us. Remember to be doers and not hearers only. The third remember, remember not to forget. Verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." As I shared at the start of this sermon, I've had my share of forgetfulness. Perhaps you have as well. I've also heard stories of others, such as the story of Stephen Thomas. This is a current story. He's a pioneer in the world of cryptocurrency. Thomas got in during the early days of crypto and accumulated a number of coins that at the start were worth about $2,000. Reportedly, those coins are now worth $777 million. Quite the increase. The problem, there's a problem. Stefan stored them in a highly secure digital safe called Iron Key, and he can't remember the password. I'm serious, this is true. He gets 10 tries before it is locked forever. He has used 8. And he is currently working with several companies to try to figure out how to get his password back. He forgot something that was quite valuable to him. As Christians, we have something of much more value in the Word of God. And we must not forget, but be doers. James uses an analogy to illustrate how some forget. The person who has looked at his natural face in a mirror goes away and forgets. Why? We may think, this is ridiculous. How could they do that? And this is compared with looking into God's word and going away and forgetting, not obeying. Why would we leave the word of God and forget? Why are we doing this? Does it go against our comfort? Do we have other competing priorities? Are we distracted? Is it sinful pride that makes us think we know better? May it never be. The passage doesn't tell us exactly why. What is clear is that it is forgotten. We are given the word of God and it's squandered or purposely ignored. Then there's the contrast of the one who looks into the word and does not forget. The one who is a doer who acts. Remember not to forget. Be a doer. Maybe you've heard of the Nike slogan, just do it. Probably their most famous and successful slogan. For sports, that means to put in the hard work. Be bold. Be brave. How do we remember to be doers of the word? Perhaps we could think, just do it. Just do it. Love God. Love his people. Obey his word. Just do it. A doer remembers not to forget. A doer, as James says here, perseveres. They get it. God didn't just give us his word simply to be learned, but to be obeyed and applied. James here calls the word the perfect law. Perfect because the Bible is without error, sufficient, and comprehensive. Law because we are to be obedient to it. In the same way, it is called the law of liberty. Because through the gospel, we are empowered to live as new creations, free from condemnation, and instead under grace. No longer slaves to sin, but now being able to do what's right and live pleasing God. And a blessing is promised to those who are doers. James writes, the doer will be blessed in his doing. Remember not to forget. So how do we apply what we've learned from this passage? I've been praying that God will be working in each of us, bringing to mind and convicting us of those points that need to be particularly impressed in our lives. And certainly this is a passage that can be very quickly applied if we are willing to hear and obey it. So together, let's ask three questions of ourselves as we seek to apply it. The first question, what is my view of the Word of God? That is the question I want you to ask yourself this morning. What is my view of the Word of God? As we've heard from God's Word this morning in James and the other texts we have read, a Christian's view of God's Word deeply matters. It cannot be a take it or leave it for the Christian. We must see God's word as essential and authoritative in our lives. We must come to it ready to listen, ready to submit. We must come to it often and allow it to change us to be more like Christ. The Bible is not merely a book of inspiration or advice. It is breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Therefore, we must receive the word humbly and obediently, allowing it to correct and shape every area of our life. The Bible contains everything needed for salvation, sanctification, and spiritual maturity. Psalm 19:7 declares, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." A Christian must not seek truth from culture, from our feelings, our experience, but must test all things against the Word. When we take advice from others, make sure you understand what their view of the Word is and test their advice against the Word of God. When you're looking for biblical teaching, make sure you understand what their view of the word is. Test their teaching against God's word. When you are looking for someone to marry, for those of you who are not married here, make sure you understand what their view of the word is and see if they're obedient. It reminds me of Acts 17:10-11, when Paul and Silas arrive in Berea and they go to the Jewish synagogue, and the Jews hear their teaching, and it says that they examine the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Be Berean-like. Test things against the word of God to make sure that they are right. Make sure your view of the word of God is that it is authoritative, because it is. We are to treasure, obey, and build our lives on the word of God. The second question, how is my intake of the word? How is my intake of the word? Earlier in my sermon, I quoted some stats on Bible intake. 22% of evangelicals read their Bible daily, 20% several times per week, 10% once a week, and 32% never or hardly ever reading, and we are assuming they were all honest. As Christians, we are to be quick to hear. God's word is the believer's spiritual food. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Without consistent intake through reading, studying, memorizing, meditating, and hearing the word, believers remain spiritually weak and vulnerable. In 1 Peter, we are commanded, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Peter says you are to long for, you are to have an intense desire for what? Well, he says for something pure. Long for the pure, that which is uncontaminated and perfect. That is what we are to crave in the pure form. The word of God, the Bible. The Jewish teachers called rabbis used to refer to God's law as milk. The Bible says every word of God is pure, which makes so much sense since God is perfect and without mistake. How are we supposed to desire it? Like a newborn infant. Babies crave milk very strongly. Babies, in fact, will scream because they want milk. And babies are loud, especially in the middle of the night. And when they scream, seems like they can go supersonic. In fact, the word here doesn't just refer to a baby, but to a newborn baby who is eating for survival. A newborn baby must eat regularly. They are not like you or I, where if we don't eat for a day, we'll be fine. The craving is so strong. They need it. And this is the imagery that Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, uses to show us how we are to desire the word of God. Peter is not talking about people who are young in the faith, but each Christian. Each Christian should be in the word each day and have a great craving for it. Are you struggling in this area of Bible intake? Get accountable. Find somebody today. Hey, I'm not doing well in my Bible reading, my Bible intake. Will you hold me accountable? Can we do this together? Find a brother or sister in Christ who's willing to help you with this. Get a Bible reading plan. Not sure where to start? Get a plan. Check it off. Follow the pattern. And spend that time daily in God's word. And you will see changes in your life. The word of God is powerful. The third question. Am I obeying the word even when it's not popular? Am I obeying the word of God even when it's not popular? As you live your life as a doer, you will look different. And you will influence others for Jesus. But it may also single you out for attack. It may be a verbal attack, or in our current climate, it may be more serious. We should not be surprised. Jesus said in John 15, 18 to 20, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Jesus says we should not be surprised, but to expect it. But we are not to fear. God tells us that we are secure in him. Romans 8, 38 to 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Romans 8, 31 reminds us, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" We must be prepared to stand for God's word and his ways when it is not popular or when persecution comes. We must not compromise. And we need to remember that this will not be in our own power, for the Lord has given to us his power through his Spirit to be bold and to be his witnesses in this world, no matter how hostile. All glory be to God. Let us not be forgetters. Let us not be hearers only, but let us remember to be doers, faithfully loving God and obeying his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Let us desire it. Let us come to it in a humble way, ready to learn. Father, let us be trained and corrected by your word. Please fill us with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we may walk in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing to you, and bearing fruit in every good work. Show us where we may have forgotten. Correct us and make us faithful to obey you and be doers of your word, glorifying you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.